This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening to you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. Trying to recover from a long weekend. It was, man, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, our intern, Caleb, he's jumping the broom, man.
I know,
he's
right?
He's getting married. Yeah, just
like,
a couple of weeks here.
Tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow, but just in a couple
sometime,
of weeks.
Sometime, yeah.
No, I think when this show comes out for our listeners on iTunes, he'll be getting married just over a week. So, man, it's exciting. You know, if you've listened to Country Squire Radio long enough, you know, we're not the crazy types. You know, we don't want to, we don't go overboard typically with almost anything.
No.
Except
y'all.
Good,
now, you guys on the other hand.
Yeah, y'all. Yeah, we got to watch y'all.
We see you on Twitter.
But, you know, Caleb, a couple months ago, he asked me if, you know, if I would put together just a little bachelor night for him where we could kind of go have some fun and just get into a few things as long as it was legal, moral, and something that he wouldn't be ashamed of talking about later.
Interesting.
And
I am very curious to know what you came up with.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. We went to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and man, they've got this really, there's a lot of casinos down there, right? So for those of you who don't know, in our state, obviously in an attempt to get a lot more revenue, years and years ago, they allowed casinos on the Gulf Coast part of the state.
They got
to
be floating though, right?
Well, they did until Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And then when Katrina came, it destroyed all the floating casinos, and the legislature passed this bill. They were like, you can make a casino, but just build it right on the water, you know?
So, right.
I mean, the boats that they were on were a sham anyway, right?
It's it looked like a boat, but underneath
like a
boat,
it
was like,
but,
you
yeah.
know,
no, I mean, it was a barge, a stationary barge that, you know, where, you know, thousands of people gambled. So, but anyway, we went down there and they had this one place. It was like an adult arcade, a barcade, if you will.
A barcade.
And so imagine this huge arcade area. I knew Caleb liked video games.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And so we went down there, stayed a night, and they had, you know, if you could imagine like three bars on the edge of a Chuck E. Cheese. And so just like all these like
animatronics,
you know, rock climbing, and there was a ropes course and lots of shooter games. And I mean, you know, they had pool tables and stuff too, but like it was just an awesome arcade for like grown people.
Yeah.
Great. And
yeah.
We just did it up, man.
Rock climbing. What was the other one? Yeah, the rock climbing shooter games and the
and pool tables.
Pool tables. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, you know, it was just fun. It was just good.
No, that
good,
sounds fantastic.
Good games, man. We played we shot zombies with crossbows, we played Space Invaders, we we fell off rock climbing walls, and we made fools of ourselves pretending like we knew how to, you know, race go-karts. I mean, it was great.
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So anyway, congrats to Caleb, you know, the intern here, just in a couple weeks getting married.
And, I was about to say, he hadn't done it yet.
Man,
I know we're show congratulations until he actually
I know, that's right.
We're supposed to, you know, hold him accountable down the aisle.
Someone asked the other day, maybe I mentioned this on the air, they didn't ask me who my groomsmen were, they asked me who my pallbearers were. Like, that's pretty clever.
That's pretty clever.
So Caleb, unfortunately, you know, he asked me to be one of his pallbearers. So anyway, I was proud to put that together for him. We had a good time down there, man. It was a lot of fun.
Man, that sounds awesome.
What's going on with you, man?
Oh, you know, that sounds awesome. Yeah, while you were doing that, I was at home sick with a 2-year-old.
Just another weekend at the York House.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that was kind of our deal. Actually, my wife and I, we were really excited. We actually were allowed some kind of time, just the two of us. We were really excited for. The kids were going over to my parents' house.
Yeah. So y'all took a nap.
And so that's the thing. That was the plan, except, you know, as soon as literally we pull into my parents' house, you know, the oldest gets out, then the 2-year-old, we pick her up, and as soon as my wife picks her up, blah.
Oh, man.
All over the place.
Oh.
And so then it's like, all right, well, date night's off. So.
This is the reason we have date night, right? Because
exactly.
To get away from stuff like this.
Exactly. But but no, man, it was good. A lot of good family time. You know, got a chance to go and see, you know, the Christmas lights are starting to pop up all over the place.
Here and there, they really are. Yeah.
Got the Christmas tree this weekend. So, man, it's a fun time.
Okay. Did you got your Christmas tree? Did you put lights on your Christmas tree?
We did. And this year we did something a little bit different that we haven't done in the past. Normally we've gone for like, you know, we've kind of messed around a little bit. You got the classic Christmas tree lights that are kind of the thin little ones that, like, if you don't have it exactly right, then half of them die. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So you got the classics.
Right.
One year we tried to go LED, and I think LED has progressed as a technology, but back then, sure, by going LED, we turned our Christmas tree into like a rocket ship. Like, you could see it from outer space. It was like, it was not good. But this year, man, we actually went with those, kind of those outdoor lights, you know, the kind that you kind of hang down and they look like balls and everything. So kind of
bistro lights.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, but ball shaped and everything. And man, it looks really good.
Came out good?
Yeah. I think it's only like slightly a fire hazard, but it looks really, really good.
Okay. Well, the future Mrs. Cole and I went tree shopping last weekend.
Really?
Even though, you know, we're not married yet. She doesn't live with me yet. We're like, oh, we'll go get a tree and try to make my house look like an adult lives here. And so we went and got a tree. And the dog has only successfully almost knocked it over about 3 times.
Oh, snap.
So Penny has, if Penny gives it her seal of approval where, you know, she can scratch her rear end on it and it doesn't fall over, then I feel like that has accomplished something good.
Has Penny never seen a Christmas tree before?
No, we've had Christmas trees in the past.
Okay.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things, like, you just never know what to expect. I mean, it to her, it's just a giant back scratching device. That's literally all it is. Yeah,
man,
it's great. We have not put a single light on the tree yet, though. That's how busy it's been. So,
well,
we're hoping to do that within the next couple days. We hope. Hopefully, we'll, you know, get to Christmas lights and ornaments before the big day comes.
Dude, Christmas trees decorated up is great. You know, I'm envisioning in my head that what you really need is kind of like ornaments in the shape of pipes, maybe even like custom corncob pipes that have been turned into Christmas tree ornaments.
No, that's right. That's right.
Just throwing that idea out there. Of course, we do have our holiday custom cob competition coming up. We've been talking about the last couple of episodes, but if you'd like to participate, there is still time. Buy yourself a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, customize it in whatever way you want to. The only rule is, only one rule. There's a lot of rules, but not a lot of rules. There's enough rules so that it's regulated, but not so much that it's confusing.
Yeah, that is stuffy. Yeah.
One entry per person. All pipes must be smokable, and contestants need to send their pipes here to the Country Squire by December 15th.
Yeah, so, we got our first submission today.
All right,
we
man.
Did. Yeah, it was great. So several people have mentioned to us they're working on them. They're almost ready. A couple people have said they're even on the way. But we received at the shop here today our first submission.
Don't show me. Don't tell me anything.
We're going to go in. Yeah, we're going to go in blind on this. It's going to be a lot of fun. It was great. I was really, really happy to get that. So the shop's address, if you're you know, got one planned or working on one, almost done with one, and want to ship it to us, it's 1855 Lakeland Drive, Suite B10, Jackson, Mississippi 39216.
All right.
And if you'll just address it to the Country Squire, me, when we and include some type of information in there, just letting us know what this is, so we won't just get this random corncob pipe and be like, oh, well, that's awfully nice. Wish I knew who this came from.
Yeah, we got to know who it came from.
But, and give us some contact information too. But, man, we're actually going to be able to give this to a good cause, right?
That's right.
We're going to auction these off.
Absolutely. All the details can be found on our Facebook page at facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. Tune in there, check out all the details, and yeah, let's get those in.
Yeah,
it's a couple more days to go.
Good way to collaborate with our friends at Missouri Meerschaum on that.
Absolutely. All right, man, so we got that coming up, but we also have New Year's Eve as well, man. So we've got a big New Year's show that we're doing, kind of for the first time ever. We're doing a best of 2017, where we've asked you guys to kind of submit in like best new blends, best tins, best pipe tobacconist, although John David has taken himself out of the running. So for all the information on that as well, it is available on Facebook. It's also available for patrons of the show, and especially those of you who are our club members. Now, man, speaking of club members, we mentioned a couple weeks back that we were getting pretty close to a major milestone.
This is crazy.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it has happened. Joining at the Squire level, our 100th member, Everett Bradshaw.
Woo! And you didn't even mess up his name.
Watch it be Everate Bradshaw.
I know, right?
but yes, I thought, you know, in honor of the 100th.
Dude, I know. Let's actually get it right. Dude, Everett, man, thank you so much. You were the 100th club member that we've had at Country Squire Radio for our International Pipe Club. We're so grateful for you and for all the other folks that have continued to make the club and the show possible. Gosh, it's just amazing. And what's amazing is he wasn't the only one.
No. But let's stay on Everett here for a minute, because I feel like we got to give Everett his props.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the 100th member, this is a huge milestone. You know, I wanted to do something special for this. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll get one of those like confetti poppers, but then you'd have confetti all over the floor. And, you know, the fact that you can't.
Yeah, because we'd hate to get the shop dirty.
Well, if you had confetti and glitter everywhere after coming right back from a bachelor party.
Yeah,
that
people might have questions.
Yeah, that might not look good.
That makes sense.
But then I thought, okay, well, we'll just stuff balloons underneath us and then like we'll press a button and they'll come up. Kind of like we did for, you know, your engagement and with the roses. And, you know, I had props for the live show there as well. But when it was all said and done, we ended up having another member join between now and then. I thought, well, that was going to make things feel awkward for new Squire member, J.D. Tooney.
Man, 101.
101,
that's it. That's it. J.D., yeah. a good name, solid name.
Yeah, it makes me think of the cartoonies that I used to watch when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was focused on the fact that his name was J.D., but that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe he's the cartoon version of you.
He might be, which is almost like an oxymoron, isn't it? Or like, no, that's redundant. A cartoon version of me.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He might actually be the real you.
He's just...
You're the tuning.
I'm the tuning.
You're the tuning. Well, man, we got a lot of fun. By the way, of course, big thanks to all of you who are club members. Those of you who are actively joining, we're getting real close to the turn of the year here, which means that we'll be doing some plaques and some fun things up. So big thanks to all of you. If you'd like to join the Pipe Club as well, find out more information at CountrySquireRadio.com. There's a big banner that says join the club, or you can go to Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio to join there as well. All right, man, we have got a fun show tonight because
it's always the most fun show.
Absolutely. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is Squire Select. Now, Squire Select, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is where we take generally whiskeys. Now, we've done some different things with Squire Select, but generally whiskeys, and we pair them with pipe tobacco. Many of us, we enjoy the spirits while we're enjoying our pipe, before or after, or sometimes even during. And tonight we are helping you figure out what is the best pairing when it comes to pipe tobacco and some delicious brown water.
Ah, the old brown water.
Now, we got some fun ones tonight.
This is good. This is good. So tonight we're going to have a little fun. We're actually going to do two American single malt whiskeys. You think single malt? Well, that sounds like a scotch, right? Well,
yeah.
Well, single malt, this is, you know, how whiskey is produced a certain way. It's the traditional way Scotch whiskey is produced, and you can only call Scotch whiskey, you know, Scotch if it's made in Scotland. But there are single malt whiskeys that are being produced now all over the world. The most interesting ones I've seen of late have been coming from Japan. Burgeoning, real high-end whiskey market that we're seeing in East Asia. It's interesting, and folks in Japan are just really adopting it. But it's starting to take the American market as well. And, you know, just as we've seen with craft bourbon, craft gin, craft vodka, all in these small town American places across our country, we are now starting to see that with single malt whiskey, which can be loosely translated into scotch. And so,
I like it.
Yeah, man, it's just a lot of fun. We thought we'd take a peek at a couple of those. And man, these are both actually gifts from friends of Country Squire Radio.
Is that right? Now, I knew one of them was.
Which is cool. Yeah, but both of them are. And one of them we've had sitting at the shop a little bit longer than the other one. And you'll be able to tell that very soon by looking at the bottle.
Yeah.
So a couple of great ones tonight we're really excited about. This is American Oak Westland. It's Westland American Single Malt Whiskey.
Wow.
So the distillery is Westland. It's from Seattle, Washington, and it is 100% malted barley, all grown there in the beautiful state of Washington. So 92 proof. This is about where you would expect a scotch to kind of come in as far as the alcohol content goes. And I'll read the back just real quick. It says, this is the flagship malt, and it's a core expression of the distillery's house style. Westland's American Oak is a reflection of where it is made and the collective intent of those who made it. When we founded Westland Distillery, we had a vision for an entirely new category of whiskey distilled from rich, flavorful barley in Washington State, and matured predominantly in new American oak casks in the steady, cool humidity of our seaside home. All these choices and ingredients conspire to create an approachable, mature, uniquely American single malt that can stand with the best whiskeys in the world. Interesting whiskey here. A bourbon lover will feel right at home here.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's
and,
me.
And I like that because so many scotches people come to and they're like, yeah, you know, I wish I liked scotch. It seems like all these, you know, people that know stuff about finer things, they like scotch, but I don't care for it. There's just something there that's, maybe it's too peaty or it doesn't have enough sweetness or, I don't know, a little too medicinal maybe. This Westland single malt is incredibly, it's approachable. That's how they describe it. And it's almost like if one of our favorite go-to scotches, Glenlivet, and maybe one of your favorite bourbons kind of had a fling, and the offspring that came from that fling were this, that there's just enough bitiness to it, and I think just enough sweetness to make you feel like, oh, maybe there's something there that would give the old bourbon lover a something, you know, throw that person a bone.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
It's made with five different barley malts. Again, all the barley is from Washington State, and they do call it, you know, approachable, which I think is very key. So how about a dram?
I was about to say, if it's so approachable,
would you like me to quit talking?
I'm ready to start
sipping.
Now I'm curious, as you're pouring this right here. So this is so you said this was from a gift from a listener specifically.
That's right.
This was a gift to the show,
to the shop, and the show.
Okay,
but it is a listener.
I was about to say, because
it looks like maybe so we got to it a little early.
Yeah. did the hurricane hit it before I got a chance to see
actually,
it?
Actually, the hurricane did not hit it because it's here.
Right. Okay.
Right.
There you go. Touche.
Because it's here, the hurricane.
Oh,
hit
you need
it.
Something.
So, hey, just I'll get it on the next round.
Okay, all right, yeah. Fair enough. Well, cheers. All right. So, full disclosure, I actually had a little bit of the other one prior to this one, which is going to be a pretty big gear shift when we get there.
Yeah, it will. It will.
This is really good. I mean, like you said, I mean, I could definitely. It speaks to the bourbon lover in me.
Yeah.
Man, it is crazy though, because like. I totally killed my taste buds by drinking the other one.
By drinking the other one because it was so so robust and strong and unique. So and this one is decidedly lighter. It is, you know, and actually even by its own admission, you know, the folks at Westland, they call this lemon citrusy. The distillery even says it has notes of waffle cone, which I think is interesting. And you know, on a clean palate, you really can taste these kind of soft. You know, they call it waffle cone. I'm thinking kind of a toasted vanilla almond flavor, and that really does come through. But there's a lightness to this that is really nice. And I think some of our listeners that like a smoother bourbon, something that is semi-sweet, but also enjoy kind of the sharpness or the peatiness of a scotch. I think there's something here that they can really enjoy.
I mean, I do almost feel. I mean, there's literally nothing offensive about this.
Yeah,
like it's
incredibly
it's
sippable.
Very very good sippable drink. You know, I think about there's a lot of people that are kind of scared of scotch. This might be a kind of a good way to kind of dip their toes in
exactly,
the right direction.
That kind of was my thought on that. You know, again, the bourbon lover, someone that likes a sweet American style whiskey. You know, they're going to find something here. I think that they can approach and really enjoy. So, you know, whether you get waffle cone or not, that as the folks at Westland says, it waffle cone that devolves into creme brulee, custard,
ooh,
chocolate, and almonds. You know, I don't know. I mean, we might
be reaching on that.
We read the back of these wine bottles regularly, right? And it's just like, oh, it smells like toasted cherry with the inside of my grandmother's purse,
yeah.
And you know, with
the bright Tuscan sun, you can actually taste the rays as they went straight through the grape leaves. And
yeah, the lavender that's been soaked in, you know, vinegar oil or some crap. You know, it's just, it's like at some point, just tell me that it's a red wine, right?
So
but,
interesting.
Well, I think this is really, really good stuff.
If this is my waffle cone, what am I putting in it?
Yeah, so the what you're putting in your waffle cone, I like this pairing. You know, what we've done here is we've provided something that's just a little sweet, but typically, you know, the tobaccos that come from this country taste very this company tastes very natural and are well done aromatics. This is sweet vanilla honeydew, and it is from Dan Tobacco. So I love all the stuff from Dan Tobacco. This, you know, Dan Tobacco made in Germany. They make all this real quirky tobacco. You see the weird plug tobaccos they come out with, and you know, they've got the old favorites like Bill Bailey's and Gordon Pym, but the sweet vanilla honeydew, you have to look real closely even to know who this is made by, because they just kind of you know, show, I don't know, you just they just on all their tobaccos, their brand name is almost like an afterthought. It's really interesting.
I mean, but, you know, there's so much text that goes on to most tobacco tins.
No, that's
anyway.
Right. Yeah,
you don't really know what's branding, what's forced, and what's otherwise.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the way that they actually
that's
have
a good
their,
way to put it.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah.
The way they have theirs on there, it looks almost like that literally text that you almost instinctively overlook.
No, that's right. I think so. Yeah. So it says a fine blend of bright and sweet Virginia, delicately scented with smooth vanilla. Mm. So I've been smoking this tonight. Really enjoyed it. This is as you would expect from Dan Tobacco. Even their aromatic tobaccos. This is it is a cased or top tobacco. But it comes in the can very dry, and sometimes on aromatics you do appreciate that if you're coming at it from a non-aromatic standpoint, right? Mm. So I'm a, you know, typically folks that like a non-aromatic tobacco and they're like, I just feel like tasting something a little sweet tonight. You know, they might not want to dive all in on the cherry syrup kind of tobacco or something like that. They might just want something a little more subtle. When you think about it, for a Scotch taster that's drinking the Westland American style malt whiskey, that's kind of what you're getting there, right? It's like a single malt that has that has just a little of that bourbon sweetness. What Dan Tobacco has done here with the sweet vanilla honeydew has given you basically a Virginia blend that's just a ready rubbed kind of chunky Virginia blend. That's got a healthy dose of just light, you know, of honey and almond with a little vanilla. And so, yeah, just really nice. I like this tobacco a lot. Makes a nice, soft aromatic for a slow, sippable smoke.
Let me ask you this. Is dry aromatic, I mean, is that a German thing?
No, not necessarily a German thing, but, you know, I think it's...
I'm not a big fan of dry tobacco.
It's less common than other aromatics. I think that's right. So
it does have a very good tin note. I mean, like, you do... Yeah. It hits you with the sweetness instantly.
Yeah, that's right. It does. Another company that makes a lot of tobaccos in this manner is Villiger. Villiger, they had a tobacco we talked about in the early days of the show, 1888 Midday, that was real popular for a while. Villiger doesn't make any of those... daytime blends anymore, but you do see this occasionally. The tobaccos that are you know, they're cased, but then they're thoroughly dried, and so it, you know, think about, like, for me particularly as a Virginia blend smoker, I like something that is going to make you slow down. You really have to sip it to enjoy it. You have to nurse it to get the real flavors out. Puff it slowly, maybe give it a soft dash of flame occasionally to get it restoked up. Mm. You know, and that goes really well with some aromatics like this one, because it's you know, just kind of forces you to slow down a little bit. Again, it's a
interesting,
yeah, it's just a different type of aromatic, which I think folks that enjoy you know, more non-aromatic tobaccos can really appreciate. So
all right.
Sweet vanilla honeydew. I don't taste any honeydew in this tobacco,
but you can certainly smell the vanilla.
But you can certainly smell the vanilla, and it goes well with the Westland American single malt.
Yeah, you pack your vanilla ice cream in your waffle cone.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it makes
right.
a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. Followed up with some honeydew. No, that's it. That's it.
All right, man. So this next one that you're about to bust out here is really interesting, because as I mentioned, I had it before actually sampling the American oak here.
Yes, you won't be able to taste anything else for the next week.
Yeah, so that's the thing. what we're about to have is, you know, it's from Texas because it just kicks you in the mouth.
Ah, it's just bold.
I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just a very strong flavor.
It's robust. It is strong. Yeah.
Tell them what
Absolutely.
We got.
Absolutely. So not exactly sure how you say this, but this was a gift from one of our listeners at the Texas Pipe Show. And it's something we finally cracked open and have really enjoyed. This is Balcones number 1 Texas single malt whiskey. It's the classic edition. If you type in Texas single malt and the numeral 1, you'll be able to find it very quickly. Just a real classic bottle. Kind of looks like a Balvenie bottle or you know, something like that. Just real classic simple bottle. Got a wax seal on the top of it, and this is a product of Waco, Texas, and it says a single malt whiskey. I'll read the back of it. All this stuff is small batch. It's even hand printed on the back the date that this was made. This particular one.
I always love that kind of stuff.
I'm just a sucker for that. Yeah, this particular one was September 29th of 2016. So this has got about a year on it since it's gone in the bottle. But Texas Single Malt is born. A timeless style of malt whiskey, Balcones number 1 Texas Single Malt breathes new life into centuries of distilling tradition with classic techniques and ingredients adopted for New World tastes. Opening aromas bear hints of toffee and overripe fruit. On the palate, layers of toasted malt and honey give way to mellow notes of baked pears and apples. I think that's very apparent, too. A long finish is accompanied by cinnamon and cloves. Texas made, Texas proud, as of course Texans are. We hope you enjoy the whiskey we owe our success to as much as we enjoyed making it.
Texans are proud. I always found them to be very, very humble people. But it's hard to know because, you know, it's very rare that a Texan even ever tells you they're from Texas.
No,
it's almost like they're trying to hide it for some reason.
That is true. Have I ever told you I was born in Houston?
Yeah. We have discussed this.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's been covered.
Yeah, it has. Okay. Although I feel like you are, you know, I'm joking, of course. Texans are... wonderful people, and we appreciate all of you, especially those of you who want to provide whiskey to the show. But you know, Texans are very proud of the fact that from Texas. But you don't really come across as more Mississippi than Texas.
Well, I've been here long enough to be self-depreciating.
Okay, all right, and it'll do it to you. Mississippi will do that.
And it'll do it to you. Know, that kind of gets in your skin. You know, there's enough of that, you know, self-deprecating, you know, humor, inferiority complex thing that, you know, Napoleon syndrome, right?
Sure. So you went to state.
I did. I went to Mississippi State. At some point.
I don't know about football, but I know enough to know that if you went to state, you'd probably hate yourself a little bit in the football department.
Wow. No, man. This is good. We just got a new coach this week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, things are going well.
It's all going to turn around.
No, it's good. No, it's all going to get better. It's all going to get better. That's right.
Oh, man.
Really fun whiskey here. This is a pricier bottle. This is anywhere you'll find it on the market from $70 to $120, depending on where you live.
Thing is,
really good whiskey.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's worth every penny. And cheers.
Yeah, cheers. We
thank you very much.
I didn't even talk about it.
I know. I wanted to start drinking it before.
I know, right? I know.
Because it's really, really good.
It's really good. Immediately, right out of the gate, of course, the distillery, they say toffee and overripe fruits, baked pears and apples, and the long finish with cinnamon and cloves. The baked fruit that, the type of fruit you might put into a pie before you add a whole lot of sugar. Like that's kind of what I'm getting here.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting here.
Kind of that naturally baked sugar, but not like sweet necessarily.
Yeah, caramelized, but not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just a real soft kind of mealy flavor. It's got an oaty texture to it. There's it coats your tongue with like this sugar. You get black cherry. The cinnamon, I don't find as much. I do think there's some clove here, but this is a really interesting drink. You know, it coats your mouth, like I said, almost immediately. They ferment this whiskey at a long time longer than most single malts, and they do it at very low temperatures just to get the flavors really rich. So not super familiar about the fermentation process when it comes to single malt whiskeys, but that's what they say is they force it to sit in there for a little longer and just at a little colder temperature to kind of, you know, make it work for every ounce of flavor that it can. So what's fascinating here in most single malts that come from Scotland, for instance, these are aged in American bourbon barrels, right? And a lot of folks find that interesting that Scotch is aged in bourbon barrels, but that's what happens.
Even over in the old Scottish place.
That's right. So they actually use bourbon barrels to age Scotch in, or in most cases. But this is not done that way. It has some American oak, but there's also this European and French oak barrels that have been mixed in here, and so it's going through it's getting a lot of different influences from a flavor profile. So they put it through a variety. They're kind of nebulous on what they say this goes through, because they obviously want you to know that this is all proprietary stuff, but that it's very complex, and you can just tell, though, even when you drink the whiskey, that there's a lot at play here.
Well, it's funny. So before we were recording, I had a little bit of a glass of this, and it was right after I bit into one of these little cinnamon cakes you had.
Yeah.
And like, I immediately was like, was it the cake that I just ate, or is it this? Like, what's the apple?
That's right.
Like, where's the apple coming
from? That's right.
From?
That's right. And again, it kind of goes back to that baked fruit. You know, again, we're trying whiskeys here, single malts that are made in the United States. So a lot of these small batch whiskeys, again, from the United States, they're going to have their own twist on it, right? Like, how does a small time American manufacturer come out with something that is different, puts them on the map, that's unique? And so what they've done here, I mean, obviously they want to stand out. They've made if you can imagine a single malt Scotch, something that's full bodied. I mean, think of maybe even a Laphroaig or something, but then you have this kind of fruit element that comes in and doesn't take over, but is just a really nice augmentation to the smokiness. Man, I think it's just really solid. Yeah.
I mean, what's more American than apple pie? I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
By the way, shout out to Randall Morgan, who's actually the one that hooked us up with this one from Texas, who's tuning in live. So thank you, brother. Cheers to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, it's so good. We're glad you could join us. Man, yeah, and thanks for the bottle. It's just an incredible whiskey. We're so glad to have it. And go ahead.
So Randall's at home right now. He's got bottles of this. He's probably drinking one right now, and he's wondering what he's supposed to smoke with it.
Well, what I'm pairing with it, and I'm particularly proud of this because this is such a interestingly sweet single malt whiskey. You know, it's got sweetness, but it also has the Scotch legs to it, right? It just kind of runs with it. So
sweet and peat.
But anyway, I wanted to pair this with something that I thought kind of brought you back down home to earth a little bit, kind of centered you some. You know, imagine, you know, if you went, for instance, with something this unique, this bold, this rich, you know, you could overdo your taste buds very quickly.
Yes.
With a whiskey like this, right? You could
burn them out completely right before doing a tasting.
No, I know. Like a random co-host of mine. Yeah, that's right. Whose initials are Bo York. But you could overdo your palate really quickly with something like this. This is a rich, thick. It's a oaty flavor. There's lots of that baked fruit, and it's just on and on about just the superlatives here. And so we wanted to maybe pair it with something that would kind of center us and bring us home a little bit, not overwhelm us, but just add to the flavor here. And I picked a tobacco that we haven't talked about a lot on Country Squire Radio.
Have we ever?
We have like once or twice, and it's always been in passing. Yeah.
Okay, because I feel like I would have remembered this.
Remember this particular one. Yeah. This is Dunhill Ye Olde Syne, and it's a dark Virginia blend. This is a re-release of theirs. It's just a fun tobacco. You know, you look at the tobacco and you're like, oh, look, it's got a, you know, a picture of, I don't know, what looks like Sir Walter Raleigh or something on it. You know,
is that Lafayette?
It might be. I don't know who it is.
Like, I see it instantly reminds me of Lafayette, of course, Revolutionary War, hero.
Man, you're such a history. With such a history purist. Yeah,
that was, he was also a main character in the hit musical Hamilton on Broadway.
That's right.
But yes, history.
That's right. History, all of the histories. So Dunhill Ye Olde Syne, just such a, of course, Dunhill Tobaccos, we know them and love them, and they have, I was about to say a cult following, but it's not a cult following. It's very overt, loud, proud following.
Oh, but there's a cult following as well.
There is that too. I think they.
And if you're in it, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, wink, wink. the Dunhill Tobaccos. You know, you open the coin style, vacuum sealed style tin. Obviously, that they're known for. All their tobaccos are going to be, again, kind of in that moisture range that's a little more medium to dry. And this is just a real soft tobacco. This is a Virginia ready rub tobacco. It's got a lot of strength to it, but the flavors are not off the charts, right? So the strength is there, but it's not just so strong in flavor that it kind of bowls you over. So I like this. There's a oatiness to it, and some of that sharpness that I think you really appreciate in certain Virginias that make this good to smoke. So give it a smell.
Oh, interesting. This I mean, the tin note very much comes across as like a tobacco lover's tobacco.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, I mean, again, if you're into super, you know, superlative flavors, think rich English blends or aromatics that are dripping with sweetness. I mean, this is probably not the blend for you. But if you like subtle tobaccos that have lots of power and are real clean, and again, if you're a lover of Virginias that like kind of the sharpness that comes with a real solid Virginia, that kind of makes you work for the flavor, I think you'll be really pleased with this.
All right, let me ask you a question, because I mean, this is, I've been opening tins and enjoying them, both smoking and just smelling. And whenever it comes to just opening tin, smelling without ever smoking it, there's always like a whiff of something I get that I'm like, okay, that's pipe tobacco. You know what I mean? Like there's all of these other different flavors and textures and everything else.
That's raisins.
But like, not the raisins though. There's just that it's not fruity in the slightest. It's just something that's like, I don't know if it's burly per se or whatever it might be, but there's just something in this tobacco that I recognize. I'm like, okay, this, and maybe it's cause it's an English, or maybe it's cause it's an English. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it's not an English. It's a Virginia blend.
All right, so maybe but that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's because it's a Virginia blend.
Just the Virginia blend, There's something about, you know, just kind of soft tobaccos that don't have a lot of flavoring on them that, if it doesn't have Latakia in it, it can kind of lead you into that oaty, grassy, hay-like flavor that I think this is majoring in right here. So
okay,
that's probably some of that stuff you're getting, particularly that kind of oaty, mealy flavor. You know, there's almost a... I don't know. I think the oats really shine through there. So again, this is a tobacco that on the flavor profile, it's not really going to, you know, knock you out. But what I love about Ye Olde Sign, and it's very much like the...
Is the guy on the tin.
Is the guy on the tin. But also the Balcones number one. This is a liquor, a whiskey that really makes you slow down to enjoy it. So not only, not just in the way pipe smoking makes you slow down, but you know how some tobaccos you really do have to sip slowly and deliberately to enjoy them, and in small quantities to enjoy them. And I feel like the Ye Olde Sign really makes you do that because it's a tobacco of the same nature. This is not something you're going to hot box, something that you're going to puff real quickly on, chasing those big clouds of smoke. You're going to sip this tobacco. You're going to sip it. It's going to give you a real clean, mealy flavor that I think kind of majors in some of those things that just kind of bring you back home, you know. And so when you pair it with the Balcones, it's just real balancing. It's just real, real balancing. I think the superlatives of the Balcones number one, which are so fruit, cherry, toffee, peat in your face, you know, they're really kind of the edges are kind of rounded off nicely with the Dunhill Ye Olde.
It's interesting. Okay, so I've got a dumb question, and I realize this is dumb.
I have a dumb answer.
Oh, okay. Good.
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
Well, and I'm glad to play the stupid role, even 4 years in and asking this kind of like dumb question. Is it Virginia tobaccos that I'm really kind of picking up on then? Is that kind of the consistency? And maybe I need to kind of like say like, oh, I'm smelling this again, and you could be like, oh, it's Virginia, or oh, this is no Virginia.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, with this particular one, it could be.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If you were to like just describe totally on smell, someone hands you a Virginia tobacco, what's the smell that comes to mind instantly for you?
Hay and vinegar and oats.
Interesting. Because maybe, I mean, like the vinegar...
Yeah. And sometimes tea. Actually, a lot of times tea. Yeah.
Your palate. My God.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You think of like, you think of green tea, right? And the kind of sharpness that it hits on your nose and then it immediately kind of has this mellowing effect. I think I get that with a lot of Virginias, you know, and again, this can kind of fade into your, you know, your tasting notes as well. But I think from the tin note of it, that's kind of where I would go with it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, it's a great tobacco pairing. I mean, honestly, the thing that really sticks out to you instantly when you see this tin is just the branding of it. You've got this dude, that is definitely from kind of the revolutionary era.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he's rocking a wig back when that was cool.
Yeah.
And no offense to those of you who are rocking wigs. It's the Ye Olde with an E.
That's right.
Sign with an E.
It's a tobacco that fits Ye Olde Country Squire very well.
Very well.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I'm shocked. This is the first time I'm seeing this.
Yeah.
Interesting. You got a stash somewhere. You've just been kind of, you know, it's like your personal stash. Great pairings, by the way.
Yeah, man. Really thought these came together well. I was pleased with these. And of course, the Dunhill Ye Olde Sign, tobacco that would go well with a lot of things, but certainly the rich, bold flavors of that Balcones number one. I think it's a solid choice.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, so the great thing about whenever you're doing any kind of pairings is it's really about kind of the flavor and kind of what you're able to pick up on. You've got a palate that you bring to the table that most of us could only like wish for, like hope for. Maybe some of us are striving to get there, but it takes a lot of practice, man. And when you practice, you got to drink a lot of whiskey. You also got to smoke a lot of tobacco.
That's right.
A lot of different kinds of tobaccos. And you're not going to want to do that with the pipe that you've set aside specifically for the Latakia, certainly not with the Ye Olde Sign. For something like that, you got to have something where you're going to get a good, fresh, clean smoke every single time.
That's right.
And of course, I'm talking about the pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right. We love Missouri Meerschaum pipes for tasting, for getting to know your new tobaccos in your cellar, things that you're unaccustomed to that you want to try. Maybe comparative notes if you're ever taking notes, if you're one of those people that wants to get into more of the fineries of describing flavor and things like that. A corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum is the way you want to go. And they have such a nice variety, which is great. Right now they've got a lot of gift packs going on, so you can buy...
Dude, their branding is awesome,
it's
too.
It's so cool. Yeah. It? I know. You can buy packs with multiple pipes in them that... straight and bent pipes, particularly the Diplomat or the Country Gentleman. Last week, I believe we talked about the Dagner Poker, which is real popular.
You got that freehand, which looks a lot like a Christmas tree.
It does. It looks like a upside down Christmas tree.
Just saying, yeah. if you wanted to deck the halls in the right kind of way, a Missouri Meerschaum pipe's the way to do it.
That's right. Man, there's just so many great items from them that that make good gifts. We have also a lot of folks this time of year like to buy just little pipes for stocking stuffers, and that's when we sell a lot of the Missouri Meerschaum Shortstop and the Missouri Meerschaum Miniature pipes. These are pipes that have small bowls, you know, but are just perfect for pocket pipes, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to try that tobacco. Give me, you know, 10 or 15 solid puffs. That's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, the bowl is perfect because it's just big enough to fit your tamper in, right?
I mean, that is a toolkit pipe.
That
right
is
there.
A toolkit yeah. pipe. It's a very precise instrument, right? And man, these are pipes that, you know, are very inexpensive, very affordable, that you'll certainly enjoy and have a place in your lineup. So we highly recommend them. Tell our friends at Missouri Meerschaum that you heard about them on Country Squire Radio. And tweet and Facebook in those pictures. We'd love to share those back out of you smoking your Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe.
Absolutely.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. This is going to be really interesting because we got something between an essay and an article.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. So we got a big email.
Did you give us the abridged version? Perhaps?
So Jay Lau actually sent in a large email. Jay is a big fan of pipes and pipe tobacco, but he is also a big fan of cigars as well.
Oh, good.
And so his love of these kind of two premium tobacco products had his kind of the gears turning a little bit. So he sent in, I think he initially intended to send one question, but it evolved into several different questions.
Very good.
Very stream of thought kind of email. Which, by the way, Jay,
William Faulkner would be proud.
William Faulkner, I'm the exact same way. I'm the exact same way. So what I did is I actually kind of carved up his email into a couple of different questions.
Okay.
Kind of grouped some of these things together. Helped him out a little bit. So Jay, we got one of your questions this week. We may answer the rest of them in future episodes, so stay tuned for that. But here we go. He says, "Hey guys, I have a question of the week. The question is about pipe versus cigar tobacco. What is the difference between cigar tobaccos and pipe tobaccos? Specifically, what is the difference between the leaf varietals for cigar versus pipes? And mainly the question is really about, you know, which tobaccos why are certain tobaccos set aside for cigars versus pipe tobacco?"
Yeah, man, great question. And this is one of those that is going to speak in some way to the technical side of the stuff, right? I mean, you could go into plant biology and all that kind of thing here.
Botany?
Botany and, yeah. And everything else, yeah, which we are certainly not qualified to talk about. But yeah, a real good question. People do ask that occasionally, like, well, you know, why can't you just roll up tobacco, you know, pipe tobacco and smoke it like a cigar,
right, yeah.
And then it tastes like a pipe? You know, it's like, so you have these different, different things and, that come through. So pipe and cigar tobacco, of course, these are different plant varieties. Cigar tobacco, again, grows in different areas of the world, right? And occasionally you'll have crossover leaves. A real popular one right now is the Kentucky Dark Fired Burley that we talk about quite a bit. You know, that Dark Fired Kentucky tobacco, it's making an appearance in some Drew Estate tobaccos. We've got a La Aurora cigar that's got some of that in it. And then also you'll have the occasional cigar leaf, popping up in a pipe tobacco. You know, we had this Andujo tobacco come around that I believe the folks at Lane introduced into a tobacco that we talked about one time. You know, also Maduro tobacco, different cigar leaf that just comes from Connecticut Shade grown tobacco, things like that that are introduced into pipes. But they are different varieties. Cigar tobacco is much fuller, more powerful, bold. Pipe tobacco has a lot more natural sugar, delicate flavors. You know, they're going to produce less smoke. Typically, the smoke is light enough on some pipe tobacco to be inhaled, although we never really encourage that. But it is a lot. It's kind of like kissing cousins to cigarette tobacco, right? Some of that burley leaf, Turkish leaf that goes into cigarette tobacco that has more wispy flavors to it and a more wispy body. We see that a lot. So really it's just without getting technical, because frankly, I don't know the names of the different plant varieties and things like that. Cigar leaf, it is grown, in a different part of the world. We're kind of talking about, the tropic area, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Honduras, obviously Cuba. You're seeing a lot more cigar leaf now come from places like, Brazil, Peru, Cameroon, of course, places in Africa. But then also a lot of pipe tobacco. Again, traditionally, we've got these areas in the United States. So you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, Maryland, Virginia, the Carolinas, and then, of course, you know, strange leaves like Louisiana perique and things like that. We've got North American leaf here that has been transplanted to other parts of the world as well. And so, you know, in places like Cameroon, for instance, or gosh, I'm flaking on one of the names of the other African countries, but a lot of these tobaccos now are grown over in that part of the world also, where they've kind of found a nice, you know, other places, you know, to make the economics of pipe tobacco work out over there too. So, but these leaves are just fundamentally different in that, yes, they're both tobacco. They both produce, you know, have nicotine content, but they smoke very differently. And I think a lot of that is due to the natural sugar that's available in both the different leaves. So, pipe tobacco, again, going to be more wispy, naturally sweet, delicate. You know, those cigar varietals are just so incredibly powerful and bold that, you know, they just make a different smoking experience. So, can't tell you much more than that. Would love to know if we do have any listeners out there that know more about, you know, the technical differences between cigar tobacco and pipe tobacco. But I think, you know, on average, from a 30,000 foot view, that gives you a good idea. So, you know, that's why when you smoke a cigar, the experience is just so different than when you smoke a pipe. Even if it's unflavored pipe tobacco, you know, the tobacco that you smoke in a pipe, it's just it tends to be just a little more delicate, a little more nuanced. With cigar leaf, you have so much more power. And I think, you know, I think that's why a lot of folks are attracted to cigar leaf.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great question, and it's
really good question.
Part of a series of upcoming pipe questions of the week related to kind of cigars and pipes and kind of where they overlap and why they don't. And that's, I think it'll be kind of interesting to see as we go through those.
Yeah.
So again, great question, Jay. And if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question!
Ow!
All right, man. These quick fire questions come in from our friends at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com. More on them in just a minute. These are actually from Ms. Eden, or Miss Eden, or Miss Eden.
Okay.
One way or the other, you know who you are. the topic is Shakespeare, tragedies, comedies, and histories.
Wow, I'm about to just make a fool of myself because I probably won't know much of any of this.
Well, normally I do, but I've been drinking. We're on an even play. All right, man, you ready?
Yep.
Hamlet or Mickey B?
Did you really called Macbeth Mickey B?
Yes.
Okay.
And you should turn around three times for even saying that.
We're gonna roll with that.
Theater lore, of course, if you say that the Scottish play on stage, it's extremely bad luck. But for some of us, the world's a stage, so you can never say it.
I am so happy right now because you're just loopy enough to be obvious, but you're still holding it together.
I'm a professional.
And it's just so much fun. And I'm going to go with Hamlet.
You're going to go with Hamlet? I will go with Hamlet as well. You kind of have to. All right. This is a really good one. Midsummer Night's Dream or Much Ado About Nothing?
You know, I don't remember a lot about either of these, but
I
do remember enjoying Much Ado About Nothing a lot more. Yeah.
Did you watch did you have to watch the movie for school?
Yeah.
With what's her face?
It's going way back, so I don't remember any, but I remember watching the movie. Yeah.
She was like in a bunch of different like really like acclaimed movies, but nothing popular. You know what I'm talking about? Like Stranger Than Fiction.
I know the kind of thing you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's a tough one, but Midsummer Night's Dream has been so vastly applied in a lot of different you know, we were talking before about kind of inspiring content, like content inspires content. It's hard to find something that has inspired so much content other than Midsummer Night's Dream. Maybe Casablanca in the more modern era. But
okay.
I'm gonna go with Midsummer Night's Dream.
It's funny, you talk about inspiring content, and what would inspire content more on Country Squire Radio than something called Much Ado About Nothing? So,
wait, that's really what the podcast should be named.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah.
All right, and then finally, Henry V or Julius Caesar?
I'm going to go with Henry V here. I remember, again, not super familiar with a lot of Shakespeare, but remember enjoying Henry V, so we'll go with that.
I'm going to go with Henry V as well, only because I had to memorize parts of Julius Caesar when I was in high school, and it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, I like British history, so I don't know, Henry V would probably bring out a lot of things that I would enjoy. But I kind of feel ashamed that I'm not more familiar with these things. Now I feel like I need to
go
do some reading. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Henry V. I mean, you get three more Henrys in there, and you got the Anglican Church. That's where you're at.
Yeah, that's right. Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived.
Henry VIII, I am.
And then before
Henry
you know it,
VIII, I am. You know that song.
I got married to the girl next door.
She's been married 7 times before, and everyone was a Henry.
Henry. All right. I could have had a Willie or Sam.
Or Sam. Oh, man. We just sang on Country Squire Radio.
That's it. That's
that makes
good.
Me happy. Yeah. All right. Those are some great quickfire questions.
And so
hey,
good.
If you've got some quickfire questions as well, you can actually send those in through the forums over at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com is an awesome community. Not only do you get a chance to meet people on the forums, other pipe smokers, but you get to find out what's going on in the industry broadly. And not just in one of these, like, you know, text-based ways of just like, here's an article about such and such. No, they are very visually stimulating. It's really a website and a community that is made for the modern age. So check them out, thispipelife.com. And when you do, use the code CSR when you sign up. It lets them know you heard about it on the show. Helps us out a little bit. We really appreciate it. CSR when you sign up at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback.
Ah.
Yeah, man. We got some great listener feedback in. I'm going to have you read this one from Jay Freedy.
Do you need me to read everything from here on out?
That's how it's going to go.
Okay.
Man, this Texas stuff, they don't mess around with
this. No, it's solid,
dude.
It's really solid. You know, even even as I'm kind of sitting here sipping on it, just the residual flavors, it really does coat your mouth with this kind of soft, sugary smokiness.
Heart of Balcones.
Yeah.
What is the first listener feedback, John Davis?
It's like, please move on so we can get off of this topic. Hey, Bo and John David. This is from Jay Freedy. Hey, Bo and John David, you guys should do an episode on lunting. We really should. You could interview Scott Biedler with the International Lunting Society. That's www.lunting.org. That's LUNTING.org. Might be kind of fun and different topic. Anyway, just a thought. So do you know what lunting is?
Now, you have explained this to me before, but re-explain it to me.
Lunting is strolling with your pipe.
Right.
So it's walking with your pipe.
But with a walking cane?
No, you just walk.
But on a hiking trail?
You can.
But it's not required.
But it's not required. You can lunt in your neighborhood.
Can you lunt with your dog?
You can lunt with a frog.
Could you
in a bog after eating a hog?
Oh
yes.
Wow!
Yeah, yeah. Lunting is you know, it's a thing. It is, and there's the International Lunting Society. Check it out, lunting.org. This is a thing. I'm telling you, there's plenty of opportunity for you to get exercise and enjoy your favorite pipe tobacco at the same time.
All right, so let me ask you this question. I mean,
we should do a lunting episode. Why haven't we done that?
Look, if you're going to say we can walk and smoke our pipes and we're going to build a show about that, then I think we can get the barbecue pairing. Like, I think this is my whole deal about the lunting thing, because this has come up. People have actually brought up before.
They have.
There is the Lunting Society, which is vast, and I think, if anything, perhaps the Lunting Society is one that deserves its own episode, if not necessarily the act of literally just walking while you're smoking. Again, no judgment, just saying that I have been criticized for even merely suggesting that we pair pipe tobacco with barbecue, which seems to have more variations and seems like a series unto itself to some extent. And you just want to
think of what happens more often, right? Think of, I mean,
deep in the heart of barbecue. I think we can pull it off. What we got for our iTunes review?
All right. From Bullfellas73 on iTunes, he says, hanging out with the guys from Country Squire Radio. These guys are informative, fun, and they speak from a place of peaceful passion. Peaceful passion. I like that.
I like that.
They don't ramble on for an hour and a half. Are you sure? Just loving to hear themselves speak. This podcast is not only a great way to learn about pipe smoking, but I feel as if they are sharing their passion and interest and hanging out with some decent dudes while doing it. So, man, Bullfella, thanks so much, brother. That's really kind. We, you know, don't want to be one of these groups that just sits here and pontificates. I think we are approachable, kind of like the Westland single malt.
You know what's beautiful about the word decent? It's one of those words that you don't hear that often. So when somebody like says it, they mean it. Like, there's like a punctuation to it where it's like,
yeah.
What matters about the fact they called you decent is that it's true.
Yeah.
But when you really think about it,
wow,
decent.
That's such a good way to put that.
But the reality is that decent just kind of means like, eh.
Well, no.
Like passing.
No, it, it,
Well, like it has a new meaning in the modern era.
It
can,
but there's a really, I can't remember how you just said it, but there's a real honesty about it, right?
Right, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, someone, oh, you're fabulous, oh, you're fantastic, or over the top,
yeah,
superb.
Yeah, we go over the top,
right?
Like crazy.
Like, man,
yeah,
they are, these are decent people. Like, these are decent people. Man, I feel honored to be called decent.
There's power in kind of the more humble terms like that.
Yeah.
That's just really good.
I think that there's something there.
How about that? How about that for some pontification? Which is an overstated word in of itself.
It is. Literally, right.
Literally.
Bullfellow 73, thanks for that.
Absolutely. Well, hey, and if you've got some feedback for us, we love getting those iTunes reviews in. It's a great way to help support the show, and it doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But if you are willing to spend a dime or perhaps a few more to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you can do that there, as well as join the International Pipe Club, where it's now over 100 members strong. Well, at least has had over 100 members sign up.
We've had 100 people sign up. That's right.
And so we really appreciate those of you who are doing that. Again, you can find all that information at countrysquireradio.com, where you can also find our social information, where you can follow us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
And of course, I am at The Real Beau York, and at Squire Radio is the show as well. Again, all that information available at countrysquireradio.com. Well, you know, at the beginning of the show, you said that you were coming off a bachelor party, but you got a bachelor party coming up here soon in the next couple of weeks.
Do I?
It's coming.
I don't think so.
The question is whether or not...
I hope it's not coming.
The question is whether or not we podcast the bachelor party.
No.
There's a strong contingency that really wants this to, like to be chronicalized.
Like to be an event of some sort?
Yeah. Maybe, you know what it is?
You know, the only thing that would happen if they'd be sitting there around watching us play like apples to apples or something.
We're going to hire
a guy. We're old, dude.
No. This is what's going to happen. We're going to hire a guy and we're going to strap a GoPro to his head and he's going to be the representation of the listener. So the listeners can come along on your bachelor party and we'll give the guy a name and everything and it'll be like,
Joe Listener?
Well, just guy. One of the way that he's there.
The thing is, you would probably do that just for fun. So we don't have to hire anyone.
You want me to wear a GoPro to my head the entire time?
Well, I don't know. Maybe
it'd be a little weird in pictures.
It's gonna be weird anyway. if we're gonna be there, Bo, if we're gonna be there,
perfectly normal in the modern era for somebody to be hanging out with your group with a camera specifically to capture everything. I feel like that is very today.
That's a today thing.
Yes.
Right.
See, I'm not crazy. I'm just ahead of the curve.
Something like that.
That's what the Joker said. Anyway, well, hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. I always love Squire Select. Had a great night.
Me too, man.
You know, it's even better because, you know, typically whenever you got a Squire Select, you got a tobacco talk right around the corner. It's Christmas season. So will you see some Christmas tobaccos next week? Stay tuned to find out. Survey says more than likely yes.
That's right. One way or the other.
Should be a good one. So, hey, man, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.